produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. Good afternoon, good morning, good night, whatever part of the world you are in. This is Reverend Carla Johnson Olds, and I am here with a dear friend of mine from high school. His name is Terrell Midget. Terrell is a vitiligo survivor. Is that the proper terminology to use, Terrell?
I still have vitiligo. It's just, you know, I don't know the correct terminology, but I mean, I have vitiligo. I was diagnosed with vitiligo in fifth grade.
Okay, perfect. Perfect start. So vitiligo is Terrell's platform. And Terrell, will you start from the beginning? Give us the definition of vitiligo, and let's start from there.
Okay. Well, vitiligo is a disorder where small patches appear on different parts of your body. This happens because the cells that make up your pigment in your skin are destroyed. And that can come from several different things. Vitiligo is an autoimmune disease, so it can be anywhere, anything, whatever you have going on in your body is fighting against each other. That's where it comes from, destroying the pigment that causes vitiligo. In my body, I guess I have an overactive thyroid. That I've been treated for, and also I lack the vitamin B12, so I'm what's called pernicious anemic.
Say that word again. You lack vitamin B12, and you are what's called?
Pernicious anemic.
Okay. So tell us what happened when you were in the fifth grade. How were you diagnosed? Did you think something was quote-unquote wrong with you? And tell us how that came about.
Well, just on around my fingertips, just noticed the white splotches on the edges of my fingers. So I went to a dermatologist, and at that time, they diagnosed me with vitiligo. Pretty much said there's no cure for it, and really not a lot of studies of what it is or where it came from at that time. They gave me a cream to put on to use, but no cure or pretty much no explanation. Just use the cream.
Okay, did it help at all?
That was it. just the cream, I think that was more of a protection for the sun and UV rays, because they felt that, direct sunlight and the UV rays would you know, essentially burn your skin, which will damage the your pigment cells, and which will increase your vitiligo.
Got you. So, as a child growing up, it began on your fingertips. So then, how did middle school and high school go?
Most of the times, you know, when it was on my fingers and stuff, I could just put my hands in my pocket. You know, people, you know, look when I had my hands out, but I mean, that wasn't, you know, that really didn't faze me a whole lot until I got into middle school. But once I got into middle school, it spread on my face. I had two dots at the corner of my eyes. That became, you know, an issue for me because it was so, it stood out so much. My mother was in Belk one day and she found a makeup called Dermabrand, which specialized in covering for dermabrand, for vitiligo. And, I decided to try this and it, you know, it matched my skin complexion, to a T. So once again, I was pretty much back in the game, you know, as far as being able to hide the vitiligo with the exception of my hands, because I tried to put Dermablend on my hands, but, you know, when I went to school, when it's time to write on paper, you know, it was, the makeup was everywhere on my paper, so I couldn't use Dermablend on my hands.
Okay. So in high school, how was high school? Did people ever ask you anything or look at you strange or?
Well, I got that quite a bit. You know, usually when I go into my transition to different areas from middle school to high school, you come across new people. Like everybody that I went to Carnage with, you know, they knew what it was. So, you know, that made me comfortable. But when it's time to go to Enloe, of course, you have all the other middle schools, you know, funneling into one high school. So that became a challenge because not knowing what people will say, how people will act. So maybe the first part of my freshman year, yeah, it was some struggles. It was some depression, having to deal with people, you know, looking at you, asking questions. So at that period, I started my dermatologist at the time was Dr. Stacy Lewis of 6 Forks Road here in Raleigh, and he was telling us about a pouver. It's a light box treatment, kind of like a tanning bed that we get in to pretty much just tan your skin, but you have to take some medication 24 hours before your treatment, and the medication was so strong that you couldn't be in direct sunlight without wearing sunglasses because it was harmful to your eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, so
This is why you were in high school?
Yeah, I did pouver for maybe about a year and a half, maybe from ninth to tenth grade. Enloe is two buildings, so you had the east and west building, and those glasses at the time were the big dark glasses with the big size, kind of like a construction glass, set of sunshades, protection, and I just knew it just wasn't very fashionable for me to walk those halls wearing those all the time.
Wearing those glasses? I always felt like everybody was cooler than I was anyway. So I was one of the people who were like, oh, my gosh. You're tall.
Yeah.
You play basketball.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize that the vitiligo affected you like that until I started to read your story. I never knew.
Yeah, it was, you know, different transitions. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you had to get up for preparations. You know, in life, you know, the first thing you do is when you wake up in the morning, You may go in the bathroom and walk past the mirror, and the first thing you do is look at yourself. And a lot of times is you may not like what you see because of the way your vitiligo is, and that's just the harmful thing, because you know, once you get prepared for the day, you know what you got to look forward to. You got to look forward to people making comments. You got to look forward to people staring. And, you know, so a lot of times, a lot of places I went to was places that I frequent, you know. People say that, you know, when they see me out, they're like, I know you're not going to be here long. And that's just been a part of my life, is because I've been just going in and out of places because of that's what I've been conditioned to do. You know, get anywhere exactly. You're comfortable. If you're going out somewhere, I'm pretty much in one location, not roaming around a whole lot. It's just what I've been conditioned and what has made me comfortable. You know, like I said, when I was doing the PUVA, it was like I saw the pigment restoring, but I was burning real bad also. My lips was burning. My feet was burning. I couldn't even put socks on my feet or put shoes on because I was burning so bad. And it just became more of a hassle than a help for me. So I just discontinued doing the poop. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much for opening up and sharing. As teenagers, we are sometimes consumed in our own worlds. And as teenagers, we're also protective of our own worlds. We don't want other people to know what is going on in our, you know, in our closed-off world. And as, you know, a teenager and as, you know, we knew each other, I didn't realize that the vitiligo would cause you that much stress. Or, you know, that would put you into a depression at certain times. So as an adult, going from high school to college and into adulthood, has your vitiligo gotten better, worse, or is there a scale?
Oh, well, mine pretty much has spread probably 90% of my body. Over a 38 years period, yeah, it has pretty much had progressed. Within the last maybe 8 to 10 years, it's pretty much has increased throughout. A lot of people didn't know how far it went on my face because I have always wore a dermaplane. I just took a dermaplane off August 17th, but you know, in the past they could probably see it, you know, on my hands and my arms. I rarely wore shorts growing up, just because of, you know, my legs were turning white or the splotches. So, like, you know, it different stages. It took time for me to get comfortable with different things.
But you played basketball, so you were comfortable playing.
Yeah, playing basketball. You know, I was around my peers, you know, my friends, and, you know, and a lot of times is that, you know, they might see me with my head down and they might be my protectors. So a lot of times that I wouldn't have to answer questions or feel some kind of way because, they'll step up and say something. Whereas if it's something that's out there that I would never know because they pretty much understand. You know, the negativity. Other than, you know, after a basketball game, you know, a lot of times is when it's going, you know, you're going to shake hands after the game, you may notice some people standoffish, so where people might be, you know, you sweat and stuff, and they might be a little hesitant to you know, shake your hand, or, you know, when you walk by, you might hug someone or something like that. And, you know, I've experienced times where people wouldn't shake my hand and stuff like that. And I guess it's because people just didn't know what vitiligo was. They didn't know if it's, they could rub off on them, if it's contagious, you know. And so I guess that's where I'm at now is because people don't know, they may make those comments. So I'm just trying to educate as many people as possible so that people like me that has a vitiligo don't have to answer them on a daily basis, and people will know what it is and they know how to approach it.
So what do you want us to know about vitiligo?
I just want to be people just to be sensitive about people's feelings. You know, it's in the social media age, you have people that has became real disrespectful. And when I say disrespectful is, you know, people likes. So they do whatever they can to get those likes or get attention. So in this age, you know, I would be the gas pump and people would take pictures while I'm pumping my gas. And they'll post me up on social media. And they'll make jokes.
Terrell.
Uh-huh.
You've had strange people take pictures of you while you're pumping gas.
Oh, not just pumping gas. I mean, grocery stores, all types of stuff. Eating at a restaurant, whereas I'm in a restaurant, and someone's right in front of me trying to take my picture. So what I usually do is, like, me and my wife might be eating. I would get up and switch seats with her, where she's into the camera. And they have they're to my back. So it's just good stuff like that, that with social media, people have became foolish to the point where they forget about people's feelings and how it affects people just to give them notoriety. And, you know, and that's the part that I had struggled with because, you know, I became pretty much numb to some of the ignorance, but I got two kids, you know, my son, he's 25 and my daughter's 5. And, you know, I just imagine if, you know, if my kids should have it, what would they have to live with in today's time? You know, if when I was growing up, if you saw me, you had a conversation or you said something, then I can say, well, you know, I can go and educate you. Or I can, you know, check you or however you brought it to me, I could bring it back to you. Well, in today's age, you know, in today's age, somebody could take that picture and he could post it, and it could be positive, but normally it's negative. I mean, you see comments like, is that a cow or is that a pinto horse? You know, you hear all types of, you know, negativity, and you can get on social media and you can defend your stance, and people are just not educated enough, and they keep coming at you like you're trying to be white, or, you know, is your mother or father white, or why are you mixed up like that? You know, so to get away from having to answer those ignorant questions, I just want to be able to educate and let people know what it is, so they won't have to ask the inappropriate questions.
Okay.
You know, kids will be kids, you know, like, you know, when you go in the mall, you might have a 5-year-old, like, mommy, he got mud on him. I can understand that because a kid don't know. And I used to always just say, this is my skin, this is how God made me. And that's always been, you know, that's always been my answer. But, when it's no longer the kids asking those crazy questions, when it's the adults being disrespectful and saying certain things, you know, that become a bit much. And, you know, that's been my mission, is to just educate folks so that, you know, because you catch somebody on the wrong day, you know, you can have anything, man. And the first day that I wore my makeup out in public, was my birthday is July 26th, and July 26th last year, I had to renew my license for my birthday, and I went to the DMV in Garner, and it was so packed, they had a line all the way out the door. So I said, well, you know, I got to hurry up because my family, they already left school, we had family reunion in Williamsburg, Virginia. So I go few miles of the road to Clayton, the DMV in Clayton, and I get there, and it wasn't as many people. So I was like, I just went it out because I have to get my license today. So I get the ticket, and I just sit there patiently. I waited over 3 hours to get my license. And so I get up there to get my license. They call my number. And the gentleman that helped me, he was saying, I can't help you. And I said, why you can't help me? He said, I can't help you unless you go in there and wash your face, because that was when I was wearing makeup. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I need for you to go in the bathroom and wash your face. He said, I cannot help you unless you wash your face. And I said, well, this is makeup. I have skin disease. I'm like, here's my old license. You have my passport. I'm just trying to renew my license. I don't need a license. I'm just renewing them because they expired. And he said, well, our policy says that you can't wear makeup. And I said, can you show me your policy? So he pulls out a book, like he's about to pull it out, and he's just flipping through it. And then he goes and talks to the guy at the front desk. And the guy at the front desk says something to him, and he comes back like he's flipping through the paperwork to show me what's in the policy. And he looks up, and like the look was like, you still standing here? And I said, well, so you're not going to be able to help me? He said, no, sir, I cannot help you. And I said, so what time do you close? He's like, we close at 5, and we open first thing, you know, Monday morning at whatever time it was. And I said, mm-hmm. So if I come in here without my makeup on, you can take my picture. He said, I can help you then. So, I mean, I was crushed. You know, I mean, you know, I've had a license in the state of North Carolina since I was 16 years old. And now I'm 43 years old, and you're telling me that you can't help me for something that I've always been coming to get. And so I got out to the car, and, you know, it really hit me then. And I started crying, and my wife ended up calling me. And she's like, what's wrong? So I told her. And she said, let me call you back. So she ended up calling DMV. I guess, you know, she told them how she felt. The commissioner of DMV called me, and, you know, he called to apologize. And we're just saying that, you know, that's not in our policy. You know, come up there and we'll take your picture. And I was just like, man, you know, I just don't have it in me to come back up there right now. Just like, you know, because mm-hmm. it could have went several ways.
It
could have went. I could have jumped across the counter and jumped on the clerk. I could have went home. Yeah. I could have committed suicide. It just, you know, it just wasn't. It wasn't appropriate for a government agent, a state agency, to treat anyone in that manner. And if there was a loophole in the policy, that they needed to correct that. So, you know, make long story short, they made accommodations for me to come out there to get my license, and you know, they made some sensitivity training with that staff person. You know, just, you know, his response. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. His response.
Yeah, his response was that, you know, that his interpretation was that, you know, it was a lame response, but I mean, you know, that's what he fell on, was that they cannot take, you know, pictures of anybody with any headgear and stuff like that on. And what he was referring to, I think it was a hijab, or, you know, what Muslim women used to wear.
The Muslim hijab.
And I could understand that, but it'd be different if I hadn't had a license before, you know? So, I mean, his rationale was some bull, but I mean, you know, that it put me there for a reason. And, you know, and that day I drove down to Virginia where my wife and my family was. And that night I washed my face, and I wore my natural face that whole weekend in Virginia. And, you know, that weekend we went to Great Wolf Lodge, and I didn't get as many stares or comments that I normally would have. So it made me feel comfortable, but I didn't know how to transition that into coming back to Raleigh. My biggest thing was coming back to Raleigh is seeing a classmate in the store and somebody see me, or and say something real crazy, like, did you beat yourself like Michael Jackson, or did you do this, or did you do that? You know, that was my biggest fear. So, you know, I wore my makeup up until, like, 17th of August, and I had called a friend of mine who's a photographer, and I told him to, that I wanted to take my makeup off, have him take a picture, and I was going to write a letter on it, and the letter just stated that, you know, this is me, and, you know, I no longer wear makeup. For years, I have did this to hide my vitiligo, and over years, it has progressed, you know, too much.
Yeah.
And that I'm gonna no longer wear it. And so he took a picture, and we posted it. I gave it to my buddy Chris Christmas, and he posted it. And I knew that night we had a all class reunion, which we usually do every year for Enlo. So I wanted everybody to catch everybody at one time, so everybody would know, you know, before I came out, that, you know, I won't have my makeup on. This is how I'm going to be. And So I took it off, posted. I think he had almost about 800 folks by the time I was leaving the house to go to the party. So,
everybody.
So
everybody needs a Christmas in their life.
Yeah. So I had that support. So I went out there, and you know, I got out there and sweating real, really, really hard because I was real nervous. I had my head down quite a bit, but people came up and hugged me, gave me a lot of support, made me feel good. That was that night. So we went out of town for, you know, about 4 or 5 days to get myself together. When I got back, you know, it was just it was a relief off of my shoulders, but then there was also some depression that I went through for about another 4 or 5 months up until maybe about November, December, because I went from being probably the most recognizable person in Raleigh to not being noticed. You know, I could walk in the mall or something and people not know who I am, or if I speak and they don't, you know, they haven't seen the story, or they might have not heard anything, and like, well, who are you? So just going up to somebody and just like, I'm Terrell Midget. Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The transition again. Yeah.
So it, you know, that kind of bothered me for about 4 or 5 months. And you know, but you know,
so, Terrell,
you know,
where do you see vitiligo in the future?
I see it everywhere now. I see on social media. I just got on social media in December. I got on social media to create a platform to be able to expand what we're doing nationally to get a National Vitiligo Day passed, along with funding for a cure, funding for education, and just funding for, you know, the mental stability for people who lives with vitiligo, because right now, you know, Congress pretty much sees people like me that have vitiligo as something as being cosmetic, something that, you know, they're healthy, nothing's wrong, but nothing's wrong other than my skin color, but mentally, you know, it's a lot of setbacks. Vitiligo has, you know, ruined people's lives, has ruined people's employment, and has ruined marriages. And, you know, some people really don't leave the house because of, you know, what they have to deal with because of, you know, something they can't do anything about.
Do you have a website?
No, not currently. I got connected. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You got connected.
I got connected with an organization out of Massachusetts called Vit Friends. Vit Friends, Valerie, she's the CEO of Vit Friends. She reached out to me. A lot of people that had vitiligo and trying to cope with it have tried to Google and try to reach different support groups. And Katrina Christian, which is here in Raleigh. She was a part of Vit Friends, but she still is. It's just that what happened is that Vit Friends spreads out to certain territories, and in North Carolina has formed a North Carolina Vitiligo Support Community, and that comprised of a host of folks that has vitiligo, and there's three co-chairs, co-leaders. It's me, Katrina Christian, and Kawanda Evans. And so me and Katrina are here in Raleigh, and Kawanda's in Charlotte. So we meet quarterly to discuss, you know, our journeys, how, you know, what the doctors are doing, eating habits, living habits, and just being able to connect with someone who is experiencing some of the things that you're experiencing and haven't been able to have a conversation about.
And World Vitiligo Day is what day?
June 25th. The Vitiligo community had picked that day because it's not recognized per se by the world or the nation as a day. But we have made it a day because Michael Jackson had vitiligo. The day that he died is the day that they observe World Vitiligo Day because he had the biggest voice as far as someone living with vitiligo. Michael Jackson was really misunderstood. You know, some of the things that he did, people would laugh about or look down on, but they didn't know reason why he was doing certain things. I had posted the other day about the glove. People didn't know the glove came about because he had a vitiligo on his hand. So instead of showing the world, you know, it starting on his hand, he put the glove on. And, you know, it became a fashion statement, which was good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But as it progressed, you know, you might saw him in France, you know, with a hospital thing over his face.
With the mask
and people,
on, yeah.
With the mask,
yes.
And stuff like that. So people were thinking that, you know, that he just didn't want to be seen by the camera and, you know, trying to come in and out of places without being seen. But that's not the case. You know, that was where the vitiligo had progressed. And so I think, you know, I don't know if he had bleached, but I'm probably sure, you know, at that time he had the money to do the bleach. But like I said, is that he tried so many other things to be accepted just because he had to grow up so fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was also a question posed on Facebook the other day that I noticed, too, and it said, do we all owe Michael Jackson an apology? And from some of the things that you have described earlier in our conversation, do we owe the vitiligo community an apology? Do we owe the vitiligo community an apology for our stares, our looks, and, you know, for taking pictures without asking?
I just think that people need to be educated. I just think we're so far behind and not knowing. That you know, people, when I say ignorant, is because they're ignorant to the fact because they don't know. And it's our job to let people know. And it's just like, you know, I stayed so to myself and not spread, you know, what it is to people because I was in my own bubble. You know what I'm saying? It took for me to have kids to be like, well, I got to protect them and their future if they have it. You know what
Understood.
I'm saying? So.
Well, thank you so.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
No, go ahead. Finish this sentence.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, this afternoon. And I also noticed, too, on your page, purple is my favorite color. So from now on, when I wear purple, I will have a different reason for wearing purple, and I will make sure that I wear purple on July the 26th.
June 25th.
I'm going to make sure I wear purple on those days as a shout out and a tribute to my dear friend. And I also noticed, too, on the flyer, it says embrace, evolve, engage, and educate. So that is a part of your mission as a member of the Villa LIGO community. And thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to have this conversation. And we both grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I currently live in Dallas, Texas. So, you know, you are more than welcome to come at any time to bring your platform. So I'm going to be one more person in your corner there to support you. We're going to embrace, evolve, engage, and educate people on Villa LIGO.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so, so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.